Please rise as you are able for the reading of today's scripture from Matthew chapter 25, verses 31 through 46. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will put the sheep at his right hand and the goats at the left. Then the king will say to those at his right hand, "Come, you that are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. And for I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you gave me clothing. I was sick, and you took care of me. I was in prison, and you visited me." Then the righteous will answer him, "Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry and gave you food, or thirsty and gave you something to drink? And when was it we saw you a stranger and welcomed you, or naked and gave you clothing? And when was it we saw you sick or in prison and visited you?" And the king will answer them, "Truly I tell you, just as you did it to one of the least of these who are members of my family, you did it to me." Then he will say to those at his left hand, "You that are accursed, depart from me into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not welcome me. Naked, and you did not give me clothing. Sick and in prison, and you did not visit me." Then they also will answer the Lord, "Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not take care of you?" Then he will answer them, "Truly I tell you, just as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me." And these will go away into your eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Well, as David said earlier, he's not up here. This is the older, fatter Davis. So I just warned Sherry if she comes. That's the way it works. But we are looking at a passage. It's called Christ the King Sunday. And it truly is an important Sunday, but it kind of gets sandwiched in there between the end of the year and we're getting ready to start Advent. But on the other hand, it's really appropriate that this text kind of moves towards all things of the last days. And I'm beginning to think maybe it's appropriate that we talk about that today, given that signs of the last days may be upon us. Mike Davis is home in mourning, and Alabama lost, and Auburn won. Bob Sullins is sporting a black and gold Argyle socks, having Vanderbilt beat Tennessee now, what, 4 out of the last 6 years? I think we're in the last times, guys. It could be bad. Seriously, I'd like to look at this. I want to play with it a little bit at the beginning part of this scripture reading because it was a long one. Thank you, Lisa. And then kind of delve into the back half a little bit and kind of go from there. Let's just kind of unpack a few phrases in there that otherwise we might run by. Starts off, when the Son of Man comes. Okay, what we know is that this is a parable. Okay. We know it's a parable. A lot of times parables are introduced with, well, the kingdom of God is like, and we can, all the little red flags go off, and we know that we're talking about a parable. But this is a parable. And in this particular parable, what we're talking about indeed is when the Son of Man comes. That means at the end of all things. This is like the revelation kind of end. We call it the eschaton or the eschatological times, the last days, the last judgment. This is not the day that you pass away. Jesus is sitting there going left, right, left, right. This is in the end when all people will be gathered together, okay? The very last times. Between now and then, Jesus majors in grace, in forgiveness, and the tender mercies of God that he showers on us. And there is incredible opportunity for us to claim that grace and to live in that forgiveness and immerse ourselves in that mercy. But when it comes the very last day, there is a moment in which there is a judgment, and that judgment is absolutely, unequivocally, without any whining, final and done. Jesus comes, it says in the beginning of this parable, in all his glories with all the angels around him. Okay, so that's one of the ways that we know without a doubt this is Jesus the King. This is not the Jesus that walked down the road and would enter into a village and begin to teach or begin to do different signs and things, and people would wonder, is this the Messiah? Is this the Christ? Is this the King of Kings? Not here. Here it says Jesus comes in all his glory, and the angels are all around him, and there is bright light. There is this unequivocal knowledge that this indeed is the King of Kings. This is the one. And all the nations gather before him. The word they use in the Greek is ethne. You recognize that? We talk about it in terms of ethnicity, meaning all the different races, all the different people. This is Jew, Greek, Gentile. This is hearer or non-hearer. This is believer or non-believer. All the peoples of the world in all time are now gathered before him. Now, I want you to hear one of those phrases I said. I said hearer or non-hearer, because I particularly like this parable, because there is this element in there that answers the question that used to always plague me and in some ways still does, that element that says, but what about the people who never knew Jesus and never heard of Jesus? What about them? I can't tell you how many hundreds of times people have come and said, but preacher, what about... I want you to listen for that later. And then we begin the process of the gathering together and the separation. Now, the folks that were listening in the first century would have heard this parable, and this would have made absolutely perfect sense, because this was a daily task. Gathering and separating is a task of herders that happens every single day. What happens, like wheat and tares, goats and sheep go out and they graze in the same pastures, and they graze side by side, they graze commingled, and they're just kind of all in there eating all day long, going wherever it is that they go and having their fill. But come nightfall, the shepherd gathers all the sheep and the goats together and then begins to move them towards the sheep pen and the cave, where they are then separated. The sheep going into the sheep pen and the goats going into the cave. Rationale behind that's pretty straightforward and simple. Sheep are big old woolly creatures, and they need the cool, fresh air, and they like it outside. Goats have not wool, but they have this hair, and it's kind of fine, and it's kind of thin, and, you know, like your goats, Allison. Allison's a goat keeper. And they have to come in at night, don't they? Because they get cold when it's way out there. But the other part of that was sheep were usually white, and so they represented the righteous, the untainted, the pure, the unblemished, where the goats tended to be of all different color and blotched colors and things, so they represented symbolically the ones that were tainted. So we have this sense of separation, and we move begin to move into the heart of the parable, and Jesus begins to separate, and he begins to send the sheep to the right and the goats to the left. And we think about that for a second. And I think thematically, we get the first glimpse of what this parable is all about. The sheep go to the right. Where does Jesus sit in the end days and in the kingdom of God? At the right hand of God, the Creator. And so where are the sheep going to sit? At the right hand of God, the Creator, through Jesus Christ. They will sit with Jesus. Jesus could just as well be looking at them saying, I am with you. I will be with you. You're going to be on the right. It's okay. I will be with you. Really sort of that Advent thing of Emmanuel, isn't it? God with us. And then to the goats, He sends them to the left, and they will be cast away. What's going on? First, the goats. There is this deal where the goats are gone, and they're going to be gone from the presence of Jesus because they didn't recognize Jesus and they didn't see Jesus. Before he begins that process, he uses these words in the 34th verse. He says, "Come," speaking to the sheep, "and inherit the kingdom that has been prepared for you." Now look, this is a really important phrase. Inherit that which has been prepared for you. In other words, you didn't earn it. It's not about task. It's not something where you checked off the boxes, and if you got enough of them checked off, you get this prize. This, Jesus is saying, is an inheritance. You get this because you're part of the family of God. It has nothing to do with worthiness in that regard. You're part of the family of God. Okay? Now, that's important because as we look through the balance of this, we're going to see a lot of deeds and a lot of activities and a lot of works. And if we're not careful, we're going to list those out and we're going to say, see, if I just do these things, this is it, and I get the kingdom of God. And Jesus is saying, no, no, no. Before we even get there, don't give that a thought. This comes to you because this is an inheritance that you get. And so we get to verse 35 and 36, and we get these six things. And see, I'm not even going to call them activities or acts of kindness or goodness or anything else. What I see here is I see six signs of family resemblance. There are six signs of the bloodline. You know how it is. Who had out-of-town company, and particularly family, at Thanksgiving? Come on, this is your heroic part. All right. And you looked at somebody. Somebody came to the house, and they looked at you and said, "Oh, man, you're looking so much like your dad. I can't stand it." Right? You look just like your mom. "Oh, I can see Aunt Harriet in you." There are these signs of family resemblance that just take place. And when people look at you, they just know. And when Jesus looks at us in these last days, he looks down and he sees these signs of family resemblance. He sees himself in us. He sees God in us. And the way he sees him in us is he looks and he says, "Look, here is the deal. I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick. You cared for me." Now, early Jews would have known about all five of those, and then Jesus throws in this extra one, the sixth one, on his own. He says, "And I was in prison, and you came to see me." Me, each time. Hungry, fed me, thirsty, gave me something to drink. Me, each time. Again, that theme, that Emmanuel, that God with us, that we did this to Jesus. And herein, I want to tell you, it's where the sheep and the goats really begin to see their different paths. Because Jesus is saying to the sheep, "Come, you'll inherit this kingdom." And to the goats, he's saying, "Go." He said, "Look, bottom line is, when I was there, you didn't give me anything to eat. You didn't give me anything to drink. You didn't clothe me. You didn't care for me. You didn't come visit me." All of those things. What you wanted was distance from me in these people. And so distance now you may have. You were calloused then, so I will be calloused now. And you go to the left. Now, What's interesting is at this point, neither sheep nor goats are bleeding out and whining like, but I didn't know. They're saying when, but it's not like they're saying, I didn't do these things. The good people aren't standing around saying, I didn't do that. You see, the good people knew that they had fed people. They knew they clothed people. They knew they had visited people who were sick and in prison. They knew they'd given water. The people who didn't do those things, likewise, they knew that they didn't do those things. They knew they had passed on the other side. We all know when we walk on the other side. We know when we don't do something great because nobody's watching and nobody will know. And we won't get credit. We know what we don't give to that we really should be supporting because it's not going to give us a tax break anyway. We know those things. They knew those things. But what they didn't know and where the surprise came is that it wasn't just to those people that they were doing that. It wasn't just to those opportunities. It was to Christ. See, what we have here in this parable is Matthew's assertion of exactly what John says and Paul says. In the 17th chapter of John, Jesus is about to go to his death, and he has a long, hard prayer with God beforehand. It's that last night, and he's praying, and one of the things he prays, he says, now, Father, I need for you to make these folks one. One with each other, yes, but also one with me and one with you in the very same way that you and I are one. One with Christ. Because we believe, made one in the body of Christ, because we believe he is the Savior. So that wherever he is, we are, and wherever we are, he is. Paul says it another way. In the 6th chapter of Romans, he says, don't you know that if you were baptized into a birth like his, you are also resurrected into a new life like his? And that our new life takes precedent over our old life. And from now on, we live the life of Christ. We are made one. This is what Matthew's saying. This is what the parable's saying. This is what Jesus is saying. I am with you. I am here. God with us. Emmanuel. All of us. All the time. All the people. All the time. And so when you do it to the least of these, or you don't do it to the least of these, it is me that you're doing it to, or it is me that you're casting aside. That's what surprises them, where Jesus hangs out. He's not just hanging out in the pretty sanctuaries. He's not just in the temples. He's not just in the places of holy people, but he hangs out in the body and soul of the broken, the hungry, the thirsty, the sick, the imprisoned, the addict, the oppressed, the fearful, the depressed. We can go on and on and on. That's what surprises them. It's where Jesus has chosen to hang out. Let's just chill for a second and let me get you to do something for me. I want you all just to take a moment and just close your eyes, take a deep breath, and I want you to see a picture of Jesus. Just whatever's the picture of Jesus that comes into your mind. Now. Okay? Good. Now, I want you to take a journey with me. It could be just about any Wednesday of any week, but I'm going to pick a real Wednesday of a couple weeks ago. I left here on a Wednesday morning having checked who I needed to go see in the hospitals and what rounds I needed to make because Wednesday's my day. And I got in the car and I drove out and I headed up to Franklin Road and Old Hickory, took a ride on Old Hickory to get on the interstate to go into town to the hospitals. And of course, there on the left-hand median, standing right there, was that same guy I always see with the contributor, walking up and down. He got his little lunch bag, got his little thermos, and he's got a stack of contributors. He's walking up and down, and he's trying to make life and limb come together by selling contributors. Same guy, same face all the time. I don't have a lot of time that particular morning. I pass him by. Besides, it's the end of the month, I know, and I got a contributor that I keep on my seat so I can put it back up here and let him know I've done this once. Probably not the best plan, but it's a plan. And so I drive on down, and I get off at Wedgewood, and I'm taking a left onto Wedgewood off of I-65 going north, and there is this woman there that I've seen there not more than multiple times. She is a bag of bones. I don't know how old she is. She's probably in her late 20s or 30s, but you talk about road hard and put up wet. She looks every bit of 40s or 50s. Her skin's hanging off. It's rough. She's obviously not clean. She looks to me exactly like an addict that just is still fighting the black dog, and there she is. And she's just begging. She's not selling anything. She's just begging for whatever anybody will give her. Walking up and down beside the cars and beside the windows. Before she gets to my car, the light changes and off we go. I drive on up Wedgewood. I cross Franklin Road, then Belmont, then Hillsborough Road. Take a right, go into the children's parking garage there where I park. And I'm looking out, and there is every make and brand of human being that I have ever seen in my life. There at Vanderbilt. It's the way it is around Vanderbilt. There are people of every hue of color that people come in. There are people from every part of the world. And they are just all different. And they are speaking different languages. So I know a lot of them are immigrants and stuff because you just kind of walk down the hall. For a minute, you're hearing a Middle Eastern accent. The next minute, you're hearing an Asian accent. The next minute, you're hearing an Eastern European accent. Just all over the place. I go up in the critical care tower, and I go into a room, and there's a woman laying in the bed, and a family gathered around her, and she's gotten the word that it's cancer. And they're not sure that they can do anything. And they're distraught, as you would imagine. And we spend time together and we pray. And walking out, heading to the next hospital, I get a phone call from my admin that lets me know somebody's died. And I need to get there quickly because the family has broken down completely. I can close my eyes and see every one of those faces. You have the same stories. You travel the same roads I travel. But now the question. Is the face of those people, does it look just like the face of Jesus that you saw when you closed your eyes a minute ago? It should. That's what he's telling us. I was there selling contributors. And you didn't stop. I was there, an attic on Wedgewood. And you drove by. I was one of those people that spoke in a foreign language, and you were suspect. I was the one who was lying in a bed with my family gathered. And I was the one who temporarily lost my faith because I faced death square on. Emmanuel. God with us. Emmanuel. God with them. Because them is us. And we are family. And family treat folks like family. And there's signs of that. If we leave Christ the King Sunday with nothing else, I hope we leave with just two thoughts. Jesus is the King. And the King gets to decide how it is. And how it is Emmanuel. God with us. All of us. All the time. And so I pray we treat folks like the family that we are. And the family that we want to be treated as. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.